Welcome into a new edition of the Patriots Preview Podcast. I'm Alex Barth from 98.5 The Sports Hub, 98.5thesportshub.com. This week, we are joined by Phil Perry. He covers the Patriots for NBC Sports Boston. Phil, we've got the three match this week. That's the word I've been using all week. It's not a rematch. It's a three match. The Patriots and Bills, they split the first two meetings. And let me start with the question that's been, I think, somewhat contentious this week and maybe contentious since this game happened. We're talking about it as they split the two matchups, but some people would throw out that week 13 game in the wind and say, no, the Bills are really 1-0. How do you see it coming into this game? Is there anything we can take from that week 13 matchup?
Oh, I definitely think there is. It was on the extreme end of things. There's no doubt, right? When we're talking about 50-mile-an-hour gusts. But this is going to be a weather game. It's going to be 0 degrees. It's not easy to play in 0 degrees. It's certainly not easy to throw in 0 degrees. And we know Josh Allen's numbers when the temperatures are hovering around freezing, and it'll be well below freezing on Saturday night. But when it's hovering around freezing, he's a 50% completion percentage quarterback, and his touchdown interception ratio is about 1-1. So he's a different guy. And it makes sense because, again, it's really hard to throw the football when everything is frozen and you can't feel your hands or your toes, as Josh Allen has admitted recently happens to him when it gets really cold. So I do think that that first game is an indicator, again, on the extreme end, but of who these teams are at their core. The Patriots want to run the football. They want to slop it up. They want to play in these old-fashioned types of outdoor, in the cold, in the elements games. And so with it being what it's going to be in Orchard Park on Saturday, that to me is advantage Patriots. Now, it's the great equalizer, in my opinion. Is it enough to push the Patriots over and actually win this game? That I'm not so sure of. I think they're probably just a little bit too banged up, Alex, and they've just been playing too sloppily. They've been making too many mistakes down the stretch here for me to have any confidence that they'll avoid those and beat a good team on the road, even if the conditions favor them.
So I want to ask you about them being banged up, and we'll put Jalen Mills to a side for a second, because that's its own, you know, he's got his own scenario. But the two guys that really seem to be in doubt this week, they're both officially questionable. Isaiah Wynn didn't practice all week. Kyle Duggar wasn't seen at practice by reporters, but he was then listed as limited. Which of those two guys in your mind is a bigger loss if they don't play?
To me, honestly, it might be Duggar. I just look at this Patriots defense as being the unit that has to carry them, especially against good teams. And he might not be your first or second best defender, but I think he's, when he's at his best, he's somewhere in the conversation after that. And so that to me is a real factor if you don't have Kyle Duggar, especially since he's one of these second level defenders, Alex, who will have a real role in trying to rein in Josh Allen. You know, I just think anybody that plays in the front seven is going to have to be on their P's and Q's, and they're also going to need as much speed as possible in that quote-unquote front seven area. And we know that's, you know, Kyle Duggar is just as much a linebacker for this Patriots defense as he is a safety, right? So I think he would be a really significant loss in this matchup if they don't have him, never mind the coverage duties that he would absorb against Dawson Knox, who is, you know, one of their most reliable pass catching options. I know they're loaded at receiver, but Knox has been a big part of what they do offensively. So, you know, not having Wynn is a factor. But again, I think this is going to be such a run heavy game, Alex. Wynn is a good run blocker. Don't get me wrong. But I think with that being the style of game that we're going to see in all likelihood, I think it mitigates the win loss to a degree. If it was a mild game and the Patriots were going to have to keep up on the scoreboard and it was going to become a pass happy game, I don't think you would get a representative pass blocking effort in all likelihood from Justin Herron. I think in the run game, you could probably get by.
So do you think, you're saying Justin Herron steps in at left tackle. Do you think that's the route they go? Do you think that's the best route for them to go? Or should it be Michael Onwenu moving over to right tackle, Trent flipping to the left side? Because if it is as run heavy as a game as it seems like it might be, don't you kind of want to get your 260-pound tackles out there on the field, right?
Would make sense, wouldn't it? The reason I would say that it feels like they're leaning towards Herron is just, number one, how he replaced Isaiah Wynn in the Miami game.
Right.
And I'll give you three reasons. Number two, the fact that Michael Wynn, who's never played left tackle, from what I can tell. I was surprised
to see that. If they put him at right tackle and then Trent Brown over at left, too, because Brown played left his first year. Yeah.
Sure. And you could do that. But now you're talking about moving, you know, they usually like, it seems like, Alex, to do these one-for-one swaps.
Right.
And so now maybe, you know, you're putting Trent Brown in a spot. I asked him the other day. He said he hasn't practiced on the left side since OTAs. And we know he's got it in him, right? He, you know,
right,
helped them win a Super Bowl at left tackle. But it's a pretty significant adjustment, or it can be for certain guys. And the third thing I would just say is, and I haven't been to practice. You know, there's some more limitations there, you know, during this latest wave of COVID than there have been all year. So I haven't been. But just talking to people who have been there, what I've heard is that it looks like Heron is the guy at left tackle. And obviously they could be making all sorts of changes once we're gone from there. But you do occasionally get to see, okay, the offensive line, you know, the quote unquote starting group or the quote unquote second group kind of go up and down the field against air before we're kicked out. And it sounds like Heron's been the guy on the left side. So that to me feels like the most likely option. Is it the best? I'm with you. I would just throw Trent Brown on the left side and say, figure it out, big boy. And then put Michael Wenu on the right side. And just hope you can lean on people with all that weight and make some hay in the run game. But I'm not sure that's the way they're going to go.
And then with Jalen Mills, and again, you know, I try not to start or be too injury heavy on these podcasts, but it really does feel like this is kind of becoming
such a big storyline.
Right.
It is.
That the Patriots, not just that they're missing players, but you're talking about left tackle. They're starting strong safety. Duggar, I guess you could argue it's Phillips, but a guy who plays 80%+ of the time. And then Jalen Mills, who's been their third most used defender, their second outside corner. And this is something I've harped on going back to camp. Phil, I think we talked about this when I had you on back in August. Just even when Stephon Gilmore was in the picture, this team didn't have enough outside corners. What do you think the plan is there? Because it seems like Juwan Williams would be the guy, right, to play opposite J.C. Jackson. But he's struggled at times this year. Is it a Justin Bethel playing corner game? They haven't done this in a few years, but they used to, when they really needed to, move Devin back to outside corner. Do you think we see somebody from the practice squad? How do they go about kind of covering up for what they're losing in Jalen Mills?
Man, I kind of like the idea of getting McCourty out there just because every other option doesn't seem all that great.
Right.
You know, yeah. From their perspective.
It's been a while since they've done that, but they did used to do it.
I doubt that's what they would do. I think Devin probably is just so valuable to them in the middle. They'd want to keep him there.
Especially if they don't have Duggar.
Especially if they don't have Duggar. I think the route that they might go in, and you bring up a good name at Bethel, I think he sort of gets forgotten. But I think the guy that they would probably try to lean on would be Juwan Williams. And the only reason I hesitate is because he's been such a non-factor. He's actually been such a negative, in my opinion, when he's gotten opportunities that maybe they feel like they can't. You know, it was interesting in that first game in Buffalo, Juwan Williams, you go back and you look, he only played a handful of defensive snaps, but the spotlight was right on him early. I think it was his second snap of that game. Brian Daboll or Josh Allen or both realized that he was in the game, and they realized he was on Stephon Diggs. And J.C. Jackson was out for some reason. It was one of these instances, Alex. I don't really understand it, but every once in a while they try to give J.C. Jackson a blow, it seems like. And they go right at Juwan Williams and they complete almost a 40-yard touchdown pass as Stephon Diggs easily runs by him. Like, you and I could dial up that play because he is who he is. So that to me would be the concern. And I also would look at it too and say, if that is the decision they make, does it impact how you can cover these guys? Do you go with more man, which they played the second game where Josh Allen had such a dynamite performance? Or do you say, well, with Juwan out there, we really can't match up with anybody, you know, and feel good about it, having these guys shadow the receivers that are on the other side. So we've got to play zone. That to me would sound like the more logical solution, because then, Alex, you've got the added benefit of having defensive backs with their eyes on the quarterback, and it would help you limit Josh Allen in the run game. And I think with it being as difficult as I anticipate it will be to throw the ball, stopping Josh Allen's legs is going to be a key part of this matchup.
So we talk about stopping Josh Allen and the game plan last time out. And I still think they ultimately had the right game plan. Maybe the execution wasn't there, but drop everybody back deep, force Josh Allen to kind of check down underneath repeatedly, see if he gets impatient, makes a mistake. For the most part, he was disciplined. He tried to give him the ball once on that J.C. Jackson interception, but he never really took the bait. And do you think he can do that again? Or I almost wonder if this game plan needs to evolve into the old Peyton Manning game plan, right? Where they just drop eight back on every play, bait him into the run, just completely take the ball out of his hands. We kind of saw him running against Brady too earlier this season. And I know Bills fans will lose their minds. We're suggesting you defend Josh Allen like you would defend Tom Brady. But did that last game kind of put in a spot where maybe that's the call they need to make?
I don't know if he can have a game like the one he had at Gillette Stadium. I think that's the best game he probably ever played, Alex. Honestly, when you consider the stakes and just how effective this Patriots defense has been over the course of the year, and just how accurate he was, and some of the throws he made, sidestepping pressure, backing away from pressure, off his back foot, touch throws, drive throws, killed him with his legs, 60-plus yards on the ground. I mean, he did everything. He carried them in that game. I don't think he can do the same thing. I wonder if the Patriots coaching staff feels the same way. And they say, there's no way he beats this game plan twice, right?
And I think that's how some people feel externally too. Just, can he really do that again?
Well, especially in the weather. Again, it comes back to the conditions. You know, it's the law of averages, one, but it's also the weather. That was a mild day for December in Foxborough, Massachusetts, when the Bills were here last. So it would not shock me if that's what they end up doing. I do think, though, and you have to be careful, right? But I do think they can find a way to be a little bit more aggressive with their pass rush. He just had so much time to throw on a lot of these. Now, occasionally they got pressure with Kyle Van Noy, I thought was one guy who played with a little bit of juice that day against the Bills. I thought Christian Barmore had a pretty decent game in terms of creating some pressure. But you can't just let him sit back there and survey, because not only does it give him time to diagnose and make an accurate throw, but it's really hard to cover. You know, whether you're top corners are out there or not, you're asking these guys to cover anybody for 3.5, 4, 4.5 seconds. And it's not possible, not consistently. So they've got to figure something out where they can be disciplined in their pass rush and still have a pass rush. I think they were too conservative up front last time, and it really hurt them in the secondary, because you just can't, you hear the word plaster a lot from these guys.
Right.
You can't plaster for that long against a good scramble drill quarterback like Allen.
So let me ask you this then, Matthew Judon, where are you at with him kind of over the last month? He's sort of faded. And do you think he can snap out of it this week against the Bills?
This is one of the reasons why I will not be picking the Patriots to win this game, is because Judon just is not the same guy. And it really has been since the Buffalo game in Buffalo. No sacks, no quarterback hits since Buffalo. I mean, it's remarkable just the degree to which he has disappeared, because you could make the case on either side of the ball that he was this team's MVP through what, three quarters of the season.
Yeah.
I thought he allowed, you know, his ability, and really paired with Barmore, we shouldn't leave him out of the conversation, because I think he's been a game changer for them too, but he's allowed them to do things on the back end that they really haven't done in a while. Like they went for long stretches of the season as being a zone coverage team. And we understand why they had to do it, because, you know, the talent, the secondary is just not there. But the only reason they were able to do it, in my opinion, is because they were able to rush four and still get away with it and get pressure on opposing quarterbacks, because you had dudes in Judon and Barmore. Now, Judon's not himself, and Barmore's coming off what looked like a pretty serious injury at the time. I know he's practiced limited this week, but he looked all kinds of banged up by the end of that Miami game. So for those two guys to, in all likelihood, not be themselves, I think is going to make this a real uphill climb for them in Buffalo.
Do you think this is a game where we see them go to one of those secondary pass rushers? And during, you know, the heart of the season, they win seven in a row. Judon and I'll throw Kyle Van Noy in here too, were two of their best defensive players. They're both playing outstanding. There really wasn't a ton of reason to take those guys off the field. And it felt like that buried a guy like Josh Uche, for instance. Well, now I don't know that he's buried as much, given the way that especially Judon has played. Do you think this is a game where they maybe turn to him a little bit more to try to energize that pass rush?
I think they probably should. You know, not only does it give you a capable pass rusher, but it gives you just a little bit more speed. And so if it does become one of those scramble just drill situations, I feel better about his chances of mirroring Josh Allen than I do Matt Judon's right now. I think Judon's hurt. you know, I think something's up where physically he's just not right because he's not looked the same. I mean, you go back to the game against the Bills at home. I mean, Deion Dawkins was on the COVID list that entire week. He did not practice. And he's out there, he's pancaking Matt Judon. Like he's, you know, right. Some backup, you know, third down specialty pass rusher. It's mind-boggling to me what's happened there. But that to me would be a decent response for the Patriots. And they have the guys to do it, right? They've got Winovich, they've got Uche, get a little bit more athleticism on the field, get a little bit more, you know, more health on the field, in all honesty. Maybe you take Judon off on early down, or sorry, on third down. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but if you want to play him first and second down because he's a bigger human being and he might be a little bit stouter against the run than Winovich or Uche, fine, I get it. But I would not be playing him as a three down player, you know, 85%, 90% of the snaps the way he was when he was at his best, because I don't think he's right. So that should mean more snaps for some of those other guys, those younger pass rushers.
All right. So we spent a lot of time talking about when the Bills have the ball, and I think rightfully so. I think that's the real picture of the game. But when the Patriots have the ball, something that stood out to me in that Week 16 matchup, and remember, they didn't have Nelson Agholor for that game. He's on the concussion list. N'Keal Harry's at the X. The Bills seemed very content playing N'Keal Harry alone on the boundary and then just packing the box, especially when the Patriots went with those condensed formations they like. They kind of just put 9 or 10 guys in the box, and not only did they take away the run, they took away those intermediate between the numbers passing routes, which are so bread and butter to the Patriots offense. I'm not saying Nelson Agholor needs to come into this game and have, you know, 8 catches over 100 yards, multiple touchdowns, but how much do you think just his presence changes the way the Bills defend the Patriots offense and what the Patriots can do differently with him on the field?
Well, and remember too, Alex, that Buffalo game, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm almost certain that that was the week where Kendrick Bourne missed basically that entire week of practice because he was on the list.
Yeah.
And came back and was really limited in that game. I think a lot of people were wondering, where's Bourne? He's active. He's in uniform. Why isn't he out there? Well, he didn't practice. And so they really didn't use him until late in that game, or they didn't go to him at all till late in that game when they were, you know, scrambling and they were sort of playing that 2-minute offense, you know, for the vast majority of the end of the game to try to come back. So between both of those, I'll call them quote unquote absences, Bourne and Agholor, right, they're going to be much better off at the receiver spot this week. I mean, N'Keal Harry was an out and out disaster. I mean, he basically got himself benched the following week, you know, trying to catch a hitch where he's open for 10 yards. Like he's fielding the ground ball, like up by his ear, like that. It's just, you can't have it. So the way the Bills want to play defense, where we know they're going to be trying to put the game in Mac Jones's hands again, the Patriots are much better equipped to handle that. If you want to drop safeties into the box and you want to leave your corners on an island on the outside, that's all well and good. But I actually kind of like that matchup for the Patriots this week versus week 16. You're going to have Agholor and Bourne in all likelihood with Myers in the slot when you go three receivers, but Agholor and then either Bourne or Myers on Dane Jackson and Levi Wallace. And that, you know, that's on the Bills defense has been great. There's no doubt about it, but that's probably their weakest position group. And so that to me is not an incredible mismatch for this Patriots offense if they want to go there. So if Mac Jones sees it and says, man, they've got the safety down in the box, they're crowding the line of scrimmage, it's just one-on-one on the outside. I think that's what it's going to be for a large portion of this game. So if you have to throw, that to me is not a bad way to do it, is avoid where it's crowded and trust those guys on the outside to make plays. I don't know if they will, Alex, but you might have to at some point. And the way the Bills are going to play, it might be smart to just attack on the outside where you don't know if you're going to win that matchup, but at least you know it's a one-on-one.
Right. You'll have the opportunities. And again, you take arguably the two best players on the Bills defense. I know some people might put Milano in there, but I would say with White out, it's Hyde and Poyer. If you kind of bring those guys in, you can bring them not necessarily out of position, but away from the play. I think anytime you keep the ball away from the best player on the opposing defense, that helps. So that's certainly a matchup I'm looking for. It sounds like you're leaning more, you know, it feels like it's either been in terms of volume production, right? It feels like it's either been a Kendrick Bourne or Jacoby Myers game or a Hunter Henry game, right? They either feed the tight end up the seams or hitting those receivers on the outside. They haven't mixed a ton this year, but it sounds like you're leaning more towards this being a receiver game and less of a Hunter Henry game.
Well, I just think the Bills are going to be pretty obvious in terms of their stated intentions pre-snap, which is we're not going to let you run. We're not going to let you attack the middle of the field with Jacoby Myers and Hunter Henry. And they've got good middle of the field players. You right. mentioned the two safeties. Their two linebackers are certainly very capable in coverage. That to me doesn't make it a do not enter kind of zone for Mac Jones through the air, but it makes it hard. I mean, again, they had a hell of a time trying to move the ball through the air in that second game against Buffalo. And Tom Brady used to have a hard time moving the ball through the air against Sean McDermott's defense. They do so much in terms of disguise and pre-snap movement and post-snap movement. And are they in zone? Are they in man? They actually played a lot of man the last time around. I'll be interested to see if they do the same thing this time, because it would tell me how confident they are in those receiver corner matchups that we just talked about. If they're not, if they look at N'Keal Harry and say, we got this dude one-on-one, no problem, that's one thing. But maybe it is a little bit different with Aguilar and Bourne back into the mix. So that to me is why I would say, you know, I don't know in terms of like end of the day what the stats will look like, because Mac Jones may just force it to Hunter Henry and Jacoby Myers. But you might want to try the outside a little bit early and just see if you can test those guys and see what's there, as opposed to forcing it to Henry, forcing it to Myers. That game against Buffalo, Alex, that was the worst that Henry Jones connection has really been all year. I mean, they were not close.
Right.
There were balls that I think Hunter Henry weren't even sure were targeted for him because they were so off the mark. I think they were just seeing things differently. So I don't know if you want to tempt fate in that way, force it to Henry or Myers over the middle this week.
Yeah. And I agree. And the other thing I think about it is if both of these teams, we know this about the Patriots, that they play better in their head, but both of these teams to me are really built to play from ahead. If you test that matchup early and you win it, that is, it's not just about keeping the Bills defense honest. I mean, it has massive potential game-changing implications. And Phil, as we wrap it up here, I know you said that you are picking the Bills in this game, but I do end every show the same way. So if you could humor me here, or I'll change the question up a little bit for you. If the Patriots win on Saturday, they will win because, finish the sentence.
If the Patriots win on Saturday, it will be because they win the battle of the running games. And when I say that, I mean, they've got to be able to run it, not just the way they did in Buffalo, unique circumstance. They ran it well at home against the Bills, even with the Bills selling out to stop the run and talking all week about it beforehand. Damian Harris saw all kinds of 8-man plus boxes in that game, and he still ran for, I think it was 5.7 yards per carry. The only reason the Patriots got away from the run is because the score got away from them. So you have to be able to run the ball effectively, which I'm confident they will. And they should be confident that they can run the ball too. But you also have to stop Josh Allen's legs. And he has been more of a factor late in the season here in the designed running game. Bill Belichick talked about it a little bit this morning when I asked him. I mean, his rushing attempts the last month of the season, you know, it's closer to 12. 14, 15 than it was through the majority of the season, where he might get up to 8 or 9, but a lot of weeks it was 6 or it was 3 or it was 5. Brian Daboll's pulling out all the stops. Josh Allen's pulling out all the stops. I don't think they're as concerned as they would be in a mid-season meeting, Alex, of getting their quarterback hurt. So they're willing to run him because they know they need some sort of production on the ground, and he's their best option. So if you can figure out a way to keep him in the pocket, keep him bottled up, not only in the scramble drill situations, but in the designed running game too, then the Patriots will have a real chance. I really believe that, because I think it's going to be so cold. It's going to be hard to throw and throw often and be really productive in that phase. I'm just not real confident, Alex, that they are A, healthy enough, or B, disciplined enough. And that's a weird thing to say about a Patriots team late right. in the season, but I'm not sure they're disciplined enough to beat a good team on the road right now. They just haven't shown it to us over the course of the last month.
And I mean, they're valid concerns, and they've talked about them for weeks now about, you know, and Kendrick Bourne's on the other side of the ball, but I think it sums up the whole team talking about, it's not so much about what the other team is doing. It's about what we, Bourne saying we as the Patriots are doing, that we're not doing our jobs. We're not sticking to what we need to stick to. And he's right. That's cost them in recent weeks. So I'd call that a pretty accurate assessment there. He is Phil Perry, covers the Patriots for NBC Sports Boss. And you can follow him on Twitter at Phil A. Perry. Phil, thank you so much for joining us. Are you going to Buffalo?
I am going to Buffalo. I have my industrial size box of hand warmers / foot warmers that I will be bringing with me. We will be on the field for pregame and postgame live, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun, but I have no idea, Alex, what's going to be coming out of my mouth, because I'm pretty sure my lips and tongue stop working at around like 15 degrees. So if we're zero, I mean, Lord knows what's going to happen in that situation, but it should be fun nonetheless.
So there you go. Check out Phil Perry on Saturday, trying his best to keep his mouth working in the cold and all
that. Pray for me, Alex.
Phil, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, buddy. Always good to talk to you.